Psalm 75, take your Bibles and turn there, please. Psalm 75. We live in a day and age where everywhere we look, kingdoms, nations are falling, new ones are being started. It's certainly nothing new to human civilization. However, because of the ability to communicate now across the world on a moment's notice, we certainly hear about it much more often. We're very much informed about the world situation. And as a result of that, I think a lot of times if you want to be depressed, just watch the news for a little while. You'll be depressed by the instability that we seem to have in the world now at this point in time. I will say this. I think it's more unstable time in our world than it has been before. I think the scripture speaks to that. But in the midst of all the instability, in the midst of all the insecurity, in the midst of all the nations falling and others rising up, leaders coming up, others being taken down, there's something important for us to all remember. Psalm 75, look if you will, verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. Now watch, if you will, verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Notice, if you will, again, verse 5. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. This past week, of course, there's been much political talk. I do not care, quite frankly, in this setting, what side of the debate that you're on. I think it's important for us to come to a place that we understand that God is a sovereign God. I am not here to promote one particular policy or against one particular policy. I'm here to promote Jesus Christ this morning. In saying that, I do find that we live in a time that there's much uncertainty even in our own country. As a result of this, you'll find many, and I'm speaking of Christians mainly, that have this mentality of an alarmism. They have this mentality of this great anxiousness. I don't think that that really should belong in the life of a believer. That is a little somewhat confusing to me. Let me tell you, God is thoroughly in control. Nothing that's happened over the past week, nothing that's happened over the past year, nothing that's happened since the beginning of time or eternity past. Has there ever been a moment that a sovereign God has lost any semblance of control? We have to rest in that fact. As we rest in that fact, we come to grips with several principles from the Word of God. And I think it's important for us to grasp this. In Psalm 75, particularly in verse 7, he says these words. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Let me speak to you for just a moment about the healing of our land, God, and how he deals with nations. Number one, understand this. When it comes to the nations of the earth, you must understand first and foremost that it is God and God alone who is the judge. It is he alone who decides who rises up and who is put down. Oh, no, Pastor. No, you don't understand. We live in the United States of America. We decide who gets put in leadership and who does not. I agree with you. We have a great freedom. we ought to exercise that freedom to vote. But I will tell you that God rewards a nation with the man that he's chosen for that nation at that point in time. Where that nation is, I believe, as we come to the conclusion of the message today, I believe where that nation is with God is the man that God will give that nation. I think it's a direct reflection. But God is the one who is the judge. Can I say this to you on an individual basis? It's true in our own lives as well. I live a life that is constantly under inspection. Always under inspection. I'm not a politician, I'm a pastor. But I often find that everyone has an opinion on how I should do ministry. God's never built a lemonade stand, but he knows how to do my job. It's always amazed me. I would never tell you as an engineer how to do your job. I would never tell you as an electrician how to do your job. I don't even know how to do a secretary's job, quite frankly. I know how to do a pastor's job with the help and grace of God. It's a constant critique. Can I tell you this? God will not be done with me at Somerville Baptist Church until God is done with me at Somerville Baptist Church. It's important for us in whatever arena of life that we are in to constantly remind ourselves, and this is where I struggle, just being transparent with you. I struggle in this aspect of understanding it is not man ultimately that I answer to. It is to God. Let me speak to you as an individual. It is not man that you ultimately answer to. It is God. Can I tell you what that's going to do for you in a lot of ways? Let me tell you what the opposite does for you. The fear of man, the scripture says, it'll always bring a snare. When you're constantly having to try to please people and you hear them whispering behind your back, why do you say that? Oh my goodness, isn't he in a bad mood today? And why is he? And if you're constantly bound by that, if you listen to it, and I have to tell you, I have a sensitive ear. I hear that stuff. I just hear it. You know, people think they're being so smart in how they say things. But you hear it. Pastor. You ever been around people that are whispering about you? But you're around those people that they just don't seem to have quite the ability to know how to whisper? I had an assistant pastor like that one time. Not now. I had an assistant pastor like that one time. The assistant pastor had the impossibility of whispering. We were sitting in a church service one time, and the pastor, the preacher in this conference was going very long. And in the middle of it, he goes, Pastor, what is it? And he goes, he could have said what he said in about 20 minutes less. 15 people turn around to him, and we're sitting about in the middle back and say, Amen, brother, that's exactly right. Shut up. If you're not careful, what you'll find happening in your life is you'll start listening to all those whispering around you more than you listen to your God. You need to understand that it is God that's the judge. He lifts up, he takes down. He exalts, he humbles. At the end of the day, you answer to one, and that is to God. Now, I will say this, you do answer to God. So be very careful how you use that. I find certain people that use that to live a life of rebellion. When you say that, well, only God is my judge, that is true, but God has also placed within our life human authority figures. And as a result of that, so often we use this, and I watch young men particularly who are trying to sprout their wings, but really they use a spiritualized rebellion technique in the fact that they say, well, I don't need to listen to human authority. They never seek the counsel of human authority. They make all these decisions, and they're looking for the path of least resistance from human authority in order to escape it, but they always bring the Lord into the conversation. Be very careful how you use God in relation to human authority. Because the powers that be, Romans 13, are ordained of God. Can I tell you who Paul was speaking of in that passage of Scripture? He was speaking of the Roman imperial government. Not quite the greatest government to have been underneath as a Christian. So understand in our life that God is the judge. But understand this, that God is the judge. So everything that he judges us by will be by the word of God. That's alone what we answer to. However, what we answer to will be the word of God. as a member of Somerville Baptist Church. You need to understand this, that one day God will hold us accountable for how we were members of Somerville Baptist Church. People join. When we ask people to join, we ask three things of them. We don't force them to join. People come, and they can come for many, many years and never join. You know, my philosophy on that is I'd rather have people come and never join than have people join and never come. So we have many that come, but they've never joined. When a person joins, we ask three things of them. We make that very public. We say that you intend to attend faithfully all three of the services at Somerville Baptist Church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There's a reason behind each service. There's a point that we meet together that many times of the week. Secondly, we ask that every member gives proportionally. That is, that they give tithes. Scripture teaches that principle. Offerings, faith promise building. They don't have to, but if they join, that's what we ask. The third thing is this, and it's a very important one, and that is that within 6 months of joining, they find at least one weekly ministry to get involved in. What is the reason for that? The reason for that is because we want a membership of participants, not spectators. Let me tell you what will happen in a church of spectators rather than participants very quickly. This is what you'll find. You'll find a system of basically gladiators. That is, that you've hired people to come in and do the battle. And you'll have almost a situation where this is the arena, and you'll have it lined up by a balcony of seats around you, and you'll have those that are doing the battle down on the floor, and those that are cheering and critiquing and criticizing up on top, but doing nothing in the battle. And sooner or later, what you'll find when they run out of gladiators, because that system will run out of gladiators, you'll find all of a sudden now that the people start fighting with one another in the stands. And you see that in churches over and over and over again. That is the reason that we say that within 6 months. Now look, when a person joins Somerville Baptist Church, we did not compel them to join Somerville Baptist Church. Nobody forced you to join Somerville Baptist. But when you join, that is what you agreed to. Is it not? Yes, it is. It's a statement you made publicly by joining. That's something that you agreed to. Can I tell you something? In Acts chapter 5, God was very serious with Ananias and Sapphira. Can I remind you that's the dispensation of grace? They agreed to something. God didn't force them to say that. They weren't compelled to say it. They said, this is what we're going to do. And then they did not do it. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to strike any of us dead, but I am saying that He takes His judgeship seriously. I think if you're going to agree to something, particularly when it comes to the New Testament local church, I would be very, very careful in how you handle yourself with that. That's not a trite thing when it comes to God. Whether you scoff at it or not. Now, why do I say this? Because there's two sides to this issue of judgeship of God. He's a sovereign God. But we need to understand in the materialistic world in which we live that God is very serious about that. So when we say that God is the judge, there is a freedom aspect that I've already mentioned. A very freeing aspect. That we don't have to be ensnared by the fear of man. But there's also an aspect that is a fearsome aspect to it. And the fearsome aspect of this is that God is the judge. And He will neither slumber nor sleep on His own judgeship. Either the judgment seat of Christ, or if you don't know Christ as Savior, the great white throne judgment. So when it comes to His dealing with God and nations, God is the judge. God will raise up nations. God will bring them down. Secondly, and we'll move very quickly now. Understand this when you understand how God deals with nations. Not only is God the judge, but human kingdoms are completely temporary. All human kingdoms are temporary. Now, this is going to be very difficult for us. But our allegiance, first and foremost, is to God. What do I mean by this? Throughout history, kingdoms, they have come, they've emerged on the world scene, and then you'll see, after a period of time, they collapse. Have you ever noticed that when we speak in terms of past, or we speak in terms of future, The number of years seems so large. When we say this, well, you know, the Greek civilization, they expected the Greek Empire to never fail, that it was a flawless political system. And yet it did. Hitler himself, you know what he said about the Third Reich? He said that it was a system of government that was going to last over 1,000 years. It didn't even last 1,000 weeks. Can I take it a little further with you? You see, we think something that lasts 1,000 years is a long time in our present. But as we look back, understand that even an empire that lasted 300 and 400 years, as the Roman Empire did, we look at that and we say, well, it's gone now. And yet we think for some reason, and I'm sounding this out as a warning to us, for some reason that it is going to be different for any particular nation, including ours on the earth at this time, that somehow that could never happen to us? Really? Really? Are we that conceited to think that somehow we would be different than all the history of human civilization? See, it's in the moment that a nation begins to think that it's self-sustaining that you can start to see a clock ticking on its greatness. Why? Because they've forgotten that it's God who lifts up nations and God who brings them down. It is not man. It is God. All human kingdoms are temporary. I love this nation. If I was called upon it, I would die for this nation. I love the United States of America. But we must understand that we are not sustained by the Department of Homeland Security. We're not sustained by our men and women in our armed forces. We are sustained by the sovereign hand of God. Number one, understand how God deals with nations, that God is the judge, that all human kingdoms are temporary. Thirdly, understand this. It is God that chooses when to remove leaders and when to remove nations. In Psalm 75, look, if you will, at verse 7, it says, "For God is the judge. He, God, putteth one down." When the psalmist was writing this, he wanted a very clear that it was God who decides when kings finish their rule. God demonstrated this through the character Saul. Do you remember King Saul? Saul kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and he kept saying, "I need less and less and less of God, and it needs to be more and more and more of me." But there was a certain place that Saul came to. God was very patient with Saul. But there was a place that Saul came to in his reign that God finally said, "Enough." And Samuel looked at Saul and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord has departed you. It may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but my friend, let me tell you, your days are done." Saul cried and he wept and he begged, but God said, "That is it. I'm finished. It's over." And that's when you start to see the preparation being made for David to step up as king. Can I tell you, in your life, in my life, it is very important for us to understand that it's God who removes them. There's been talk recently about how we're to treat those that are in leadership over us, particularly governmental leaders. In the system in which we live, it is important for us to understand that we do have an election system. I praise God for that, don't you? I do. This coming November, you have an opportunity. I don't think a person should have one political opinion, not one, unless they're willing to go to the block and vote. I don't think they should express it. I don't think they have any business expressing it. In the United States of America, if you're not willing to express it where it counts, then don't express it where we all have to sit there and act like we're patiently listening to this. Express it where it counts. You have the opportunity to do that. However, I will say this, that we are to treat those in authority over us with respect. But in an American system of government, we also have the opportunity to debate, to argue. And I think that's very important as well. Over the next few months, you're going to be having a lot of things said. There's going to be a lot of words. There's going to be a lot of promises that are going to come out. I pray that you go to the voting block in November. You ought to exercise your American freedom. But I will tell you this. It will be God who decides. It will be God who decides. Well, Pastor, how does that work? Where does human freedom and God's sovereignty? I don't know. I'm not God. But I will tell you, we do have human freedom to vote in this country, but God sovereignly has control of who is in office. It is God who removes. You remember the Apostle Paul, he expressed how concerned he was that he would come a castaway, that God would put him on the shelf. It's God who removes. Which brings me to the fourth and last point. When it comes to how God deals with nations, God is the judge. When it comes to how God deals with nations, all human kingdoms are by necessity temporary. When it comes to how God deals with the nations of the earth, it is God that removes leaders and it's God who removes nations. Fourth and lastly, when it comes to how God deals with nations, it is God who chooses to exalt leaders and nations. Look, if you will, at the last part of verse 7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Well, Pastor, if that's the case, then, I mean, really, what part do we have in this? I mean, why do anything if God's going to do it? Well, because I do believe this. I believe that God is sovereign, but God also, through His people, can be affected. You don't believe that? You ought to read how Moses dealt with God in relation to the nation of Israel. God does hear and listen to the prayers of His people. God does watch and analyze the lives of His people. Well, how can you say that? Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 14, and this is very important now. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say because the application of the message is going to come around now. Proverbs chapter 14, and look, if you will, at verse 34. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. We just read in the psalm that it's the Lord who sets kings up, the Lord who brings them down. It's the Lord who sets up kingdoms, it's the Lord who removes them. Now notice what he says to balance this in Proverbs 14 and verse 34. He says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. He's speaking to us. He's saying, listen, yes, my heart can be swayed in how I deal with nations. But it's going to be swayed as I observe my people in that nation. And he says, righteousness will exalt a nation. Can I take that a little further? I believe that our country, as I've said before, I don't believe that it's dependent on it, ultimately on its military or homeland security, on its warning system of whatever colors those may be. Ultimately, our security is dependent on God. But He's watching His people. He's watching. And He says, righteousness will exalt the nation. He takes this further. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Many of you turn there, if you will. Many of you don't need to because you know the verse. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, listen to how He turns His ear toward His people in regard to a nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You say, Pastor, boy, I sure wish God would take this nation back. I sure wish that God would do something great in this nation. I sure wish that He would show His mercy upon this nation. Then listen, that starts with this group of people. First, if we'll humble ourselves. Lord, You're in control. I don't make the rules. I'm amazed at Christians at how prideful we can be, blindingly prideful we can be. I will say this about myself. I have a... very opinionated personality, very strong personality. But in the light of the sovereignty of God, my opinions don't mean a thing. When Whitney was born, she's our oldest, we played a little game. And the little game we do, whenever we pull up to a stoplight, I would ask her questions. And I would say, Whitney, I mean, she was just a little bitty thing. I said, Whitney, what does red mean? Red means stop, Daddy. What does yellow mean? Yellow means slow down, Daddy. What does green mean? Green means go, Daddy. What does blue mean? This is where it always got fun because she knew it was always leading. I said, red means stop, Daddy. Yellow means slow down, Daddy. Green means go, Daddy. And she could tell in her voice she was getting excited. I said, and what does blue mean? Blue don't mean squat, Daddy. And that's what she was saying. She'd just cackle and her little fat legs would be going up and down laughing. Can I tell you something about your and my opinion? As Whitney, as a little toddler, would say, it don't mean squat. It doesn't mean a thing. Nothing. We must humble ourselves before God. Some of us in this room need to quit telling God what we think and start asking God what He thinks. We must humble ourselves and pray. Seek His face. When it comes to our nation, I have a question for you. How many of us have ever said this? Instead of watching Fox News, how about I go to the closet and pray? In fact, instead of me getting out and holding placards and walking around in protest lines, how about, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, we have a freedom for that in America and we praise the Lord for it. How about I be most effective by going out in a field somewhere underneath an oak tree and begging God to have mercy on this nation? For my heart to turn more toward Him. Seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. I think that the nation's future is not dependent in the halls of Congress or who resides in the White House. I think it's much more personal. I think it depends on what happens in groups like this across the nation. If we'll turn from our wicked ways and we'll turn to God. The revival of this nation, I believe, begins with the revival of His church within this nation. Why do we say that? Because He says in this verse, then, when all of these things happen, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Can I give you just one last verse, just as a way of reminding you of the importance of this? Take your Bibles now and turn over to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. In the book of Ezekiel, judgment is about to come down on the nation of Israel. But God lets us in on His thought process of how He came to kind of the final time of decision of when this was going to happen. In Ezekiel chapter 22, He talks all the way through chapter 22 about the judgment that's going to come down on the nation of Israel. On and on and on He goes throughout. He speaks of this all the way down to verse 29. Even in verse 29, He says, the people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. He's talking about all the things that He's going to do, and this is why He's done them. And then notice what He says in verse 30 of Ezekiel 22. He says, and I saw it. After all this pronouncement of judgment, He says, but even then, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the people, that I should destroy it. You know what He was searching for? Can I tell you what He's looking for here? He is not looking for a man to stand up for God before the people. Look at that scripture. I want you to notice. Immediately we say, we've heard this message for years. I can remember hearing as a teenager and it was applied this way. It's out of context to say that God's looking for a man that's going to take a stand for God in front of for his people. That he's going to be a man of God. That he's going to look at people and he's going to proclaim the word of God. No, that is not what he's speaking of here. He's speaking of exactly the opposite. Do you know what he's looking for here? He is looking for a man who will stand for the people before God and plead and beg with him on their behalf. Now notice what he says here again. He says, and I sought. I sought for a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. He's not standing before the people. He's standing before God for the land. He's making intercessory prayer on behalf of his nation. That I should not destroy it. But I found none. Oh, they were willing to give their political opinions. And they were willing to go to the voting block and say, well, you know, we're naturally conservative. We're looked at as kind of a stereotype. The religious right. And they say it with a little smirk. Can I tell you something? The rise of the religious right is not going to change the course of this nation. Not the religious right standing before men. The world will laugh, they will mock. That is not what this nation needs most desperately. Can I tell you what it means this July 4th week? God's people need to stand before God on behalf of their country. God, please. God, please, we're asking this nation to turn back to you. God, please give us more time. God, we're asking you to purify this people. Lord, bring this country back to yourself. See, God can do much more than we can do, even through our own concerted efforts. That's what he's looking for. And he's looking for that through lives that are righteous. Righteousness exalteth a nation. So I have a question for you this morning, and it's going to come up on the screen. Here's my question for you. What about your individual life? The way you're living your individual life today. Here's my question. If righteous living, we know it's by the grace of God. If righteous living provides a level of security for our nation, and it's up to you and my life. If it's up to your life, then just exactly how secure are we? Are you humbling yourself before God? Are you seeking His face? Are you turning from your wicked ways? Are you praying on behalf of your country? God, please. On behalf of my country, Lord, I'm begging you. I'm interceding. Lord, please. If it's up to us, if it's up to us individually, how much longer do we have left? How secure are we? How much longer is God's hand of blessing going to be on us if it was up to our individual lives? Not how righteous you're trying to get everyone else to be. Do you know that the world really does have, they do have somewhat of a correct perception of us? If we as a people would be much more concerned how we stand before God as opposed to how everybody else stands before God, much more might be accomplished for God. I'm talking about us. Are we willing to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation? Not before the people, before God on behalf of our nation. So where are we? Well, I will say this to you. I don't feel insecure about it because I know that God is ultimately the judge. It's God who lifts them up. It's God who brings them down. It's ultimately going to be God who decides that. But I will say he listens to his people. So could I encourage you this week, Tuesday night, we're going to have a fireworks show. And it's going to be great. And it's going to be right out here. I want to encourage the whole church to come. The church is sponsoring it. And the fireworks part of it, they'll have some things going on town-wise before that. I would encourage you to come out. And we'll have fun and we'll have all the hot dogs and we'll have the parties and the picnics and all that that goes on. But throughout the week, as we celebrate our nation. Could I exhort you to stop for just a little while and pray on behalf of our nation? I think that we are at a crucial time in the history of our country. Oh, Pastor, people have been saying, really in the history of nations, is 30 and 40 years that long a time? This is a big ship. But I do think we're at a crucial period of our history, the history of our country. And God is watching. He's watching us. Will we stand and pray and intercede on the behalf of our nation? Please, Lord.